It's done.
Connor McDavid! It's not real!
The goal of the year?
Panarin!
Part of the past. The celebrations? Forgotten. The history?
Vegas Golden Knights!
History. We're back to a blank slate. Clean ice. All that matters now is what happens next. The Stanley Cup Playoffs.
Eastern Conference Final begins Wednesday.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
Football Focus is doing. Last week they had Brady. This week they got Brady.
We're doing it. We're literally doing it differently from everybody else.
Hey, as a matter of fact, moving forward from this point on, I will not make reference to PFL.
Ready to get into it?
Yeah.
All right. We're going team by team.
I would be very careful about slinging stuff.
Am I going to get sued?
We got legal on this?
Let's send you out on the right note. PFF sucks. Have a great day, everybody.
Welcome into the PFF NFL podcast. Steve Pelazzola, Sam Monson. We're live on YouTube, and it is Draft Eve. Happy Draft Eve to everyone here.
Draft Eve. Just 24 little hours and a bit more.
Which reminds me, don't forget, we need to record an intro and an outro for tomorrow's show that's pre-recorded. Nate Tice, Bruce Feldman going to be on the show tomorrow at 10:30 a.m. Eastern. And then we will be live tomorrow night.
Yep.
Doing the draft. And we have some breaking news. Breaking news for round one of the draft. Get that breaking news music going. Great. Chris Collinsworth's going to be joining us for the draft tomorrow night.
Ooh.
Yeah. He's going to be on round one. We didn't know if he was going to make it, but apparently he is.
That's a big hitter.
Yeah.
It How is. Do we snag that?
our people did some hard work.
Talked to his agent.
Talked to NBC.
Dealt with the writer.
We worked it out.
All the red M&Ms or whatever.
Yeah. A couple years ago, mistakes were made in the by the people in charge of the production team. Mistakes were made. Because, you know, we get here.
The situation.
We're not just working for 4 hours live. We get here early. And there's a whole team of people behind the scenes here. A whole team. And we were not fed in the first round a couple years ago.
Yeah.
You know, the person in charge brought like 2.5 protein bars and said, here.
I was listening to a thing recently that was talking about, you know, making movies. And they're like, the best thing you can do, overfeed the crew, right? Every day, hire, you know, a van that rocks up with a burger or whatever, yeah. Right? Every day.
Keep them happy.
And then they'll think you're amazing. They'll do whatever you want.
Yeah. Keep them happy. Well, the opposite people. Happened, 2021 NFL draft. And I don't know where I was going with this.
Yeah, but, neither do I.
But Chris's writer did not have that. You know what I mean? Like, Chris was on the show, and he's like, man, I'm hungry. Like, halfway through. And we made sure mid-show, we ordered some pizza. And so we took a little five-minute break, and we all ate some pizza right in the middle of round one. So I'm hoping we don't make those mistakes again, and we'll make sure that Chris is well taken care of, that Trevor's well taken care of. We flew him in. Everyone behind the scenes will be well taken care of and well fed here this year.
I think my favorite thing every draft year is your continual fruitless quest to get a giant Jeff Ruby's platter just parked on the front of this table. For every draft, you're like, we can get Jeff Ruby sponsor the show.
Yeah,
they can
want
steaks everywhere. Like a whole seafood display.
I want the seafood tower.
Yeah, yeah.
I want the seafood tower from
every
Jeff
year.
Ruby's.
Every year you take a swing at it, and every year you
Let's
come
see
up,
if Chris, I mean, Chris, if anybody could pull that off in 24 hours, that is Chris.
I mean, so he's got a steak named after him.
He does. If we can get a few steak Collinsworths here and some seafood tower or two for the set. I mean, it's just for the set. It's for the aesthetics.
For the aesthetics.
And so I can, you know, munch on some shrimp.
And the chat is pointing out that Chris is, he'll bring some hot takes to the table. He wanted the Chiefs to draft Hendon Hooker at 32 last year. So, yeah, there'll be some stuff you hear from Chris that you haven't heard from us yet.
That is one of my favorite things. Last year we had Chris on the show to do his mock draft ahead of time, and so we got a sneak peek essentially at his draft takes. It is one of my favorite things, and we're going to hear them live on Thursday night. We haven't talked to Chris about draft prospects yet.
Not at all.
Usually we have some prep time, we work with him, watch some film, whatever it might be, with Chris, but he's done his work on his own, and we're going to hear his takes live just like you will. So Thursday night, tomorrow night, I don't know how early we're going to be live, either 7:30, 7:45, but we'll be on early and going all the way through round one, and then you and I are going to stay. We're going to send everybody else home. You and I will stay, and we'll go live PFF NFL podcast Thursday night right after round one.
Who needs sleep?
Draft. Who needs sleep? Also, for the three people that will get this joke, there's a chance right now that I'm live on the Dan Patrick Show and live here on the PFF NFL podcast all at the same time, which reminds me of the time that Rick Rude was the one person in history to be on both Monday Nitro and Monday Night Raw on the same night.
Huh.
So, good there's story. That.
Cool.
That's happening. All right. So, this is your show. This was your bold. This is the bold take show. We've got some hashtag vault me's in here. Some bold predictions coming up. We have some emails to answer. Anything else you want to talk about leading up into the draft here?
No, let's go. Let's fire away.
Do you want to start with emails or do you want to start with all the predictions?
We'll do the emails then.
I was going to start with the predictions.
Well, then
wrap it up with the emails because we'll know how much more time we have to kill.
You're supposed to never ask a question that you don't know the answer to.
All right, let's go. Let's go to the draft predictions. Let's go to the draft predictions. You want to read these or you want me to? I'll read them.
You read them because I don't know where they are.
I sent you the link.
What link?
To the Google Doc.
Where?
With NFL draft bets.
Oh, it's in the same document?
No, I made a new doc called NFL Draft Bets, and I've sent it to you at least twice.
Right,
over the last
but the emails. You what? Put the emails in a different place?
The people's emails?
Yes.
I put their names. I did not save their emails.
So where are you reading these questions from?
I typed them into the document.
Which document?
The bets one I've document. Just sent it to you. Sent to you again.
Yes, the bets document.
It's a new bets document. That right. I just sent. I'm just clicking.
That's where the bets are. Where are these question emails that you're adding to the show?
Oh, that's in the talent doc. Talent
there
doc.
You go. You see? Sorry. That's what I was asking.
Talent doc. Let's start with the bets.
Right.
You ready?
Okay.
It's a good show so far today.
Oh, yeah. Smooth.
Ryan Kinsey has a bold take. Calls it Will Levis-esque.
Ooh.
He says Drake May will not be drafted in the first round.
Wow.
That's bold. Remember, the premise here. And I don't know how many of these we got. The premise here is the guy that says, that'll never happen, particularly in response to, like, when you say, oh, I want Latu at 8. And the guy, no, that'll never happen. Dallas Turner's definitely going to be a Falcon. Like, that was the yeah. – that's what we really
there
wanted.
There is here. No way that the following will
There
happen.
Is no way. So, either way, I mean
– the Drake May takes, the Drake May analysis is all over the place at the moment.
Like, it is.
We've spent months hearing nothing but negative about Drake May and how everybody who watches him doesn't like it and, you know, he's worse than you thought. And yet, if you drop him below 3, everyone thinks you're out of your mind. There's no way he goes below 3, even though the last 3 months have been nothing but negative takes on Drake May. It's bizarre. Like,
this is a bold take.
There's this clear. Oh, yeah, this is wild.
This is a bold take. I don't care what people in the chat saying this isn't bold. This is absolutely bold. I think if May falls below 4, it's bold. So this is a Will Levis-esque. I was not, like, if you told me last year at this time, hey, Will Levis is going to fall to the second, I'd say, okay, I think he's probably, I thought he was QB4 in the class, and, you know, that didn't, it seemed a little crazy at the time, but not that crazy. I don't think he's as good as a prospect as Drake May. And Ryan Kinsey here, there's, you know, some people specifically put up something, right? Specific type of coffee,
steaks.
Coffee generally, whatever it is. Yeah, some steaks. Not to eat, but, you know,
A-K-E-S.
So Ryan Kinsey will wager the naming rights of his firstborn son. So that's what's on the line here.
Wow.
For Ryan Kinsey with probably the boldest take that we have as far as viewers and listeners go.
Yeah. That's kind of like, you know, where you see people that make a tattoo bet?
Yeah.
Generally speaking,
the tattoo bet here.
But generally speaking, the people that make tattoo bets are the kind of people that don't really care what's tattooed on them. You know what I mean? Like, they've already got enough crazy things tattooed on their body.
Just hide
like,
it.
What does it matter if I get, you know, whatever, the PFF NFL podcast logo written on my arm along with all the other crazy things I've written on your arm? It feels a little harder to imagine that with naming rights. Number one, it's his firstborn, so it's not like he already has 12 kids where you're like, ah, it doesn't really matter what the 13th is called. That's a hell of a stake.
Yeah, that's a big stake. So, future parent, future naming rights. And as a busy parent, you want to give your kids a head start in their financial future. But investing can often be both confusing and time-consuming. Well, Fabric by Gerber Life makes it easy for you to set up an investment account for your child that grows with them and helps prepare for their financial future. Fabric by Gerber Life was designed by parents for parents to make it easy to plan for and manage your family's financial path. With a UGMA account from Fabric, you can start investing in your child's future today. UGMA stands for Uniform Gifts for Minors Act. While your kids can't invest while they're minors, a UGMA account allows you to invest on their behalf and gives their investments more time to grow. So join the thousands of parents who trust Fabric to protect their family. Start investing in your child today at meetfabric.com/PFFNFL. That's meetfabric.com/PFFNFL. meetfabric.com/PFFNFL. Portfolio is managed by Ford Washington Investment Advisors, Inc. Additional services provided by Apex Clearing Corporation. All investing is subject to risk. Monthly minimum contribution required. Learn more at meetfabric.com.
You know you're a big fan of pulling back the curtain, letting people see how the sausage is made?
Yes.
Starting tomorrow, we'll have new ad reads. You broke cover on the new ad read a day early.
Oh, did I?
Yeah, yeah.
Well, just record that. Drop it.
You ruined the unveiling.
We'll do it again! I am... this is not full Ron Burgundy, but I go to, here's the full disclosure, right?
Uh-huh.
I go to a document.
Yeah.
And it says Wednesday episode.
Right.
And under Wednesday episode, it says Fabric.
Yeah.
And then I scroll over to the Fabric section.
Right.
And I read what's there. I live what's there. I live it, you know, and yeah. it's right there. So it's under the Fabric section.
Perfect.
Now, this note that apparently came into the chat that I've missed.
Yeah.
That these reads will start tomorrow.
Well, the great thing is
that's
it came
fine.
In literally like 90 seconds before you started
it
reading.
It came in right before I started reading. So that's fine. But I don't have other instructions. I don't have another thing. I don't have like an old one to read. That's been deleted.
Right.
You know, so it's all I have.
Well, you would have thought that after a year and a half of reading it, it would have been locked in the old
this
memory.
This is better
for
the people because they're going to go to meetfabric.com and invest in their children. And the earlier you invest, the better it is for the long-term welfare of your child.
Absolutely.
So why would we wait till tomorrow when we could do it today?
Mm-hmm.
All right. The next bet.
Yeah.
/ bold prediction. So we accept that bet. We might not accept. You might not like some of these. They might not be bold enough for you. We'll see what happens. Ben Grethel is offering up some Kirkland coffee. He says also more like he's got a three QBs will be taken in the first round. There's two of these bets. There's a couple of these that have come through. Ben Grethel says only three quarterbacks. There's a big four. There's all these rumors for the ninth year in a row. Hey, we could have quarterbacks come off the board 1, 2, 3, 4. And Ben is coming out saying just three quarterbacks. He also still owes us from the last bet. So he's going to fire over some Kirkland coffee.
Nice.
His Irv Smith bet. And then Jonas Lejon. Did we get that right?
We got it right previously. I don't think we got it right there.
Probably not. Jonas. Only three QBs picked in the first round. I accept both of these bets. I think those are bold.
Yeah. Well, they're all effectively the same idea, right? I mean, the Drake May one is specific to that quarterback being the one that falls out. The other two are giving themselves a little bit more breathing room. But the idea is essentially one of these big four quarterbacks is going to slide out of the first round entirely. And nobody is high on Bo Nix, Michael Penix, whoever else you want to put in there.
So while we're predicting, here's something similar from Ryan Euler. I'd like to wager that only three wide receivers are drafted in the first round.
Ooh.
So I think this is just as bold, even though now there's a big three at receiver. Marvin Harrison Jr., Malik Nabers, Rome Odunze. The fourth on the consensus board, Brian Thomas Jr. at LSU, is expected to go mid to late first round. But then there are mock drafts with any other 10 to 12 other receiver names who squeeze into the bottom six or seven picks.
Yeah, Dane Brugler just said that Brian Thomas Jr.'s floor is Pittsburgh at 21? Where are they picking?
20.
He thinks that that's Brian Thomas Jr.'s floor. So he could go anywhere in the middle of the first round. And actually, there won't be a particularly big gap between the big three and him in terms of, number of draft picks anyway. And he will be gone, long before the end of the first round.
I think when you hear something like that from Dane, who, by the way, if you're, still looking for more draft content, was on the show last week, had a great discussion with him. When you say floor, I think he's saying, hey, guys, the Steelers kind of like Brian Thomas Jr.
Yeah.
And they're in the market for a receiver. And also the teams just ahead of the Steelers, the Colts at 15. Have we talked about the Bengals at 18, even? They're at 18, right? Even making a receiver pick? You know, are they going to
not really
think about it? Could they be in the market as they try to complement Ja'Marr Chase and assume for a future life without T. Higgins? I don't know if that's a strong possibility. We've talked about the Jags at 17 taking Brian Thomas Jr.
Yeah, we're in the part of the process now. So you are Mr. I buy into all the rumblings, you know? Anything that comes out before the draft, you're like, I'm in. I'm buying it. It's happening.
Yeah.
But you hate the odds moving before the draft. You
because
hate
of
this.
Last year.
Right. So now
do I need
so,
to remind people what happened last year?
Sure.
Go ahead. Well, I'm going to go find it.
We've reached the point in the process where a 24, whatever we are, 30 hours out from the draft, the odds are starting to wildly jump around the place for various different things, right? So yesterday, the big odds move was the Chargers' odds of drafting a quarterback in the first round went from 100 to 1 to 6 to 1. Also, Cincinnati's odds, this is what brought this up, Cincinnati's odds of drafting a cornerback in the first round were dramatically shortened. Anyway, point being, we're entering that world now where draft odds are jumping around like nuts, and it means something or nothing.
I'll let the viewers interpret what it means. Okay. On, I think this was on draft day, but it was definitely draft week last year. The odds for the second overall pick, which at the time was held by the Houston Texans, was always held by the Houston Texans. The second overall pick, the favorite to go number two last year, on this very day, basically, day before the draft, Will Levis, minus 145. It was just like, slam dunk, this is it. Minus 145, Will Levis to go number two overall. And of course, we know C.J. Stroud went number two overall. Levis falls to the second round. The second most, the second best odds to go number two overall last year at this time was Tyree Wilson, the edge. Now, the Texans, who held the second pick, so we're talking about Tyree Wilson. Somebody was hearing connections or something. I don't know. Bet, you know, money was coming in on Tyree Wilson to go number two overall. And the Texans actually said, no, we're going to trade back up to three and get Will Anderson, who was third in these number two overall odds at plus 400. Fourth in the odds was C.J. Stroud at plus 500. After months of people assuming Bryce Young won, C.J. Stroud too. And this just happened draft week. So that's my buyer beware when it comes to the odds. Or, again, interpret as you will what the odds are. Now,
yeah.
You were excited. You cracked a smile again for maybe the second time in the last 6 months when you saw the QB odds for the Chargers going up.
Oh, I mean, I want that to happen just because of the comedy.
You root for the funniest thing possible.
Yeah. Basically. Look, I tweeted out that I would convert to the religion of Jim Harbaugh if they drafted a quarterback with Justin Herbert and his giant contract sitting on the books already. And somebody was like, you think that's a good move? I'm like, no. I am rooting for it only because the NFL needs that level of crazy in it somewhere, right? Like, we're still talking about the Mike Ditka trade for Ricky Williams decades later. We need that. It's more interesting when something crazy happens. If Jim Harbaugh rocks up with a guy that a lot of people think is, you know, a superstar quarterback and immediately drafts somebody to come in and ruin his life with the fifth overall pick or the sixth overall pick or wherever they end up drafting, I just think it would be hilarious, and I'm all for it. I invite that level of chaos to the discourse surrounding the National Football League.
See, I like just being here live and reacting to stuff. Daniel Jeremiah has put out within the last 20 minutes, to summarize my last five phone calls, everyone's moving up for an offensive tackle. And I do think that is something we miss a lot in the pre-draft process until like the day before. Paris Johnson went sixth overall to Arizona last year. There was rumors that they would have taken him at three if they didn't have a deal in place. Paris Johnson was seen as not even like a great tackle prospect, just a good tackle prospect that was going to go in the teens.
Right.
But the, you know, scarcity of the position, the massive need, the difficulty in just finding any type of offensive tackle, never mind within the draft, always pushes them up.
And they are still seen as safe picks. Like, as much as, you know, there's discourse around what exactly is a safe pick, what position, blah, blah. Like, offensive tackle has always been seen as, when in doubt, grab a tackle. Robert Gallery, safest pick in the draft. Grab the tackle. Don't risk the quarterback. Grab a tackle. Safe. They're still seen that way.
Yeah. I mean, just off the top of my head, I remember Jack Conklin was a guy that we really liked at PFF, but expected him to go in the teens, and he went at 8 to the Browns. Mike McGlinchey, another guy, good tackle prospect, goes at 9 to the Niners. And I remember the buzz being late. I remember the late buzz right. being like, oh, McGlinchey might go top 10. And everybody's like, really? He's a good prospect. He's not great. He goes 9 to the Niners. So just expect.
And this is a good tackle
class. And it's a very good tackle class. And so, yeah, I think we might just get a little bit more tackle movement here based off what DJ's saying.
Mm-hmm.
All right, so we accept all those trades. Graham, let's go. Yeah, Graham Hackney. He's got a running back being taken in the first round, which I think is bold.
Yeah, it is.
Last year, we saw two running backs, Bijan Robinson and Jahmyr Gibbs. 2 years ago was Breece Hall and Ken Walker. They didn't go until the 40s.
Yeah, in the second.
In the second round. I think it's closer to 2 years ago where we'll see a guy at 45 or 50.
Right.
Cowboys at, what, 56? A lot of people have them pegged to grab the first running back or a Jonathan Brooks. So, yeah, I think that's a bold take by Graham.
Yeah, I would be surprised if we saw a running back in the first round. I mean, you tend to get one sneaking in somewhere. I mean, Clyde Edwards-Helaire snuck into the very last pick of the first round back in 2020. I mean, you either, even in years where you don't have superstar prospects, they tend to sneak into the bottom of the first round somewhere. But you're right. Like, I do think this year feels a lot like that 2022 version of running backs where there's a lot of good prospects. There's no great ones. And like Breece Hall, I think, would be the number one back in this class. And he went, you know, after the first round.
Right. So that's a bold one by Graham. We've got Philly Joe. We accept all these. These are all accepted bets, and we'll keep track of them, and we'll give up PFF Plus subscriptions if they come true here. Philly Joe is calling a shot for his Eagles that Nate Wiggins, the cornerback out of Clemson, will be the pick for Howie Roseman. I think that's specific enough. Is that specific enough?
So that's only bold because the Eagles don't tend to draft first-round corners.
They don't draft first-round corners. And I would say it's also bold because there are five total corners who are consensus first-rounders. So he's choosing one of those five and pegging them for the Eagles.
Yeah, but it is like a very common pick for the Eagles. I mean, it's second only to Cooper Mustard in our
it is, but I think this is sim. I think this is this for me is the nature of it, right? It's a guy named Philly Joe who is locked into all Eagles coverage.
Yeah.
And I'm not saying he's saying this specifically, but if we gave the Eagles a guard or a safety or a linebacker, he'd be like, no. I know what the Eagles are doing.
I'm saying is you're saying it's bold enough that if any person calls a player to a team, we're good.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
I mean, you know, we're not taking Caleb Williams to the Bears, but I think
right.
but something like, this specific.
So in the mock draft sim, right, the Eagles are taking a corner 65% of the time, and the second most popular corner is Wiggins. So it's about as chalky as it gets in terms
of
a pick in the middle of the first round going to a team.
But now you got these rumors, and this doesn't...
rumors, huh?
Some rumblings.
Rumblings.
And
is it moving the odds?
I refuse to check. I will let people report that to me, but I refuse to check.
Okay.
There's some rumblings that they're interested in Quinyon Mitchell from Toledo, and that Howie might. They put a picture on Twitter of him on a phone, saying he might try to. He's on the phone calling and trying to trade up. It's the actual phone call that he's making.
That's the one
talking trade.
They caught it on phone.
It was like with the Saints at 14. Or
you would have thought he'd be more careful.
The Raiders at 13, right? He's trading up for Quinyon Mitchell.
You would have thought he'd be more careful than that.
They caught him on the phone, tweeted the picture out of him on the phone, talking trade to move up. So there's rumors about Quinyon.
Okay.
That's not going to show up in the mock draft, Sam.
No.
Most people are just going to sit there and take Wiggins. So I think it's bold enough. I don't know. We could say no if you want to.
I mean, I don't know what the rest of your bets look like. I don't know what our strike rate on these is going to be, but
this one's kind of specific. but not as chalky.
Okay.
From Josh Smith. I gave Josh Smith 2 here.
Wow.
The Chargers' first pick will be Talisse Fuaga, whether they trade the pick or stay at 5.
Okay. That's pretty bold.
Right? Because that's not chalk at all. If anybody has them taking a tackle, it's Joe Alt. And other people have them taking a receiver.
Presumably make Fuaga the first. So here's another guy. He's because the Polynesian name, right? Fuanga. It's like a
Fuanga.
There's like a G in there, the way you pronounce those things.
You mean an N? Fuanga?
Like yeah.
Tunga?
Yeah.
Tunga Bailoa.
Right. Yeah, like that. Or like Tualagi, which is there's like an N. Yeah, like an N in
Fuanga.
There.
Fuanga.
That would presumably make him the first offensive lineman off the board as well.
I also the other scenario, though, I feel is pretty likely, or not likely, but very possible that the Chargers trade down and a guy like Fuanga or J.C. Latham is their pick at 10, 11, 12, whatever that trade down spot might be.
Yeah. It's definitely more likely picking him at 5 would almost certainly make him the first offensive lineman off the board. Trading down and getting him lower on would make a lot more sense.
Josh Smith also has something else. The Saints and the Broncos will swap first-round picks. Now, the Saints are at 14. The Broncos are at 12. Sean Payton will call up his old team to trade back, and the Saints will want to trade up to get in front of the Raiders to take an offensive tackle before the Raiders. Sean Payton picks up extra draft stock and hurts the Raiders' draft in the division. So very okay. specific. It's a trade up from 14 to 12.
That's some 4D chess.
For an offensive tackle. I feel like if all those things come true, Josh Smith can get a subscription.
Yeah, I mean, if you nail that level of specificity, yeah. All for it.
Cole Novak. This one we will not know right away, but one worth keeping an eye on. So timeline is the season here. Barring landing spot, Taj Washington and Javon Baker will have better rookie seasons than either Texas rookie receiver. So that's clearly A.D. Mitchell or Xavier Worthy. So it's bold. We won't know any of this by this weekend.
So they both have to have better rookie years.
Both.
And, yeah.
Barring landing spot. Now, I don't know how we factor that in.
Yeah, that's a little...
But it's bold enough.
I mean, it's not barring. It's worth, like, it's, your bet is that they're going to have better seasons. The barring landing spot is just like...
It's worth tracking.
That's part of your risk in this.
I mean, again, the spirit of it is give us a bold take, and you're taking Taj Washington and Javon Baker, guys expected to go late day 2 into day 3, and you're saying they're better than the guys who are fringe first-rounders, Xavier Worthy and A.D. Mitchell. So
yeah.
Sean Smollett's? Small and then ETS. You say the names, I'll say the bet.
No. This is you.
He's got Peyton Wilson being selected in the first round from NC State, the linebacker.
That's another one that polarizes people. Like, some people are like, yeah, fair enough. Incredible athlete, really good tape when he's healthy. And then other people are like, are you crazy? Have you seen his injury history? That guy's a third rounder.
Yeah, so I don't think it's bold in the sense that there's enough people that believe this could happen, right?
Yeah.
Especially when you have a position.
It's also linebacker. Like, you know, Quay Walker being the first linebacker off the board was madness until, like, right on the eve of it happening.
I'm guilty sometimes of buying into draft trends. Again, I think going back to the 2021 draft, there were 4 linebackers selected at the for the first edge defender. So the first edge defender off the board was Jalen Phillips. And that year, I believe there were 4 linebackers drafted by the time the second edge defender got taken off the board. And, you know, at the time, was that like a league shift? Were they valuing linebackers more? Was it just the way the board went? But the linebacker position right now, there's mixed draft boards. You've got Edgerrin Cooper from Texas A&M. You've got Junior Colson from Michigan. You have Peyton Wilson from NC State. A lot of different people have a different top linebacker. And most of them have them not go until the second round. So could one of them sneak into the first just for a need-based pick? Absolutely. So I don't think it's not terribly bold, but, you know, it's fine to keep an eye on here.
Linebacker is the position, though, where, like, the league, certainly now when there aren't – absent of a top 10 surefire guaranteed prospect, the league is almost throwing darts at this point in terms of who the top linebacker is. I mean – the position this year, when you listen to draft people, some guys have Junior Colson, some guys have Peyton Wilson, some guys have Cooper. Like, the takes on the linebackers are everywhere. And I think that reflects, honestly, where the league is right now, which is all over the map on who the top linebacker is going to be. So you go back to that year when Quay Walker was the first guy off the board, you wouldn't have to go back far prior to the draft day
for the idea of Quay Walker going above Devin Lloyd to have seemed insane. And yet that's the way it panned out. He went five picks ahead. And if you just look at the list of like the top linebacker off the board by year, it's completely random. And the hit rate of those guys is not good. Even if, you know, Micah Parsons, he probably would have been a great off the ball linebacker, but he's turned into like one of the best edge rushers in the NFL, right? Like he's not even a linebacker right now. The next guy off the board was Zaven Collins, who has also bounced around positions, edge to off the ball, but hasn't been good.
Then Jamin Davis came off the. Who else? Who's the other linebacker? There was four by the time Jalen Phillips came off the board, right? Was there four before there was an edge rusher? Like technically, Micah Parsons was a linebacker at the
yes,
time.
Yes, he was drafted as a linebacker.
Right, he just became, you know, maybe the best edge in the league.
No, there were only three off the ball linebackers in the first round that year.
Oh, okay. So it was three.
Then it was JOK in the second round.
Okay.
Nick Bolton, et cetera.
And people had JOK as a late first rounder.
Sure.
Of value as well.
But then, you know, the year before that, it's Isaiah Simmons, Kenneth Murray, Jordan Brooks, Patrick Queen are your first rounders. The year before that, it's Devin White, Devin Bush. Those are the two that year that were seen as, you know,
like those 50-50. Were kind of expected top 10, maybe.
They were expected. But my point being, like, it's almost random. Which guy is going to be good, which guy isn't. It's not a good list and strike rate recently of like the first linebacker off the board. So it could be anybody.
So do you want to accept that then?
Yeah, why not?
Okay.
Let's go.
I mean, who cares? I don't mean who cares. I mean, I'm saying we don't need to raise the standards so high. Like, let's just have some fun with this and accept them. I care. You care. This is why we're doing a whole show on it.
Good save.
Alex Montenegro, straight to the point, he says. The wildly overhyped J.J. McCarthy will not be drafted in the first round. That's one. Or, an NFL team fails to submit their draft selection in time and forfeits their pick within the first three rounds of the draft. Okay. So he says, I know there's well-rounded reports of J.J. going in the first, but couldn't imagine whatever.
Is the last time that happened?
Somebody said the Ravens did it a few years ago.
Recently.
Or in like 2010 or 11 or something to that effect.
Right.
So I'll accept the or. J.J. McCarthy falling out of the first. Now, I will say, if any QB is going to have a Will Levis-like drop, I would say it's J.J. McCarthy, not Drake May, personally. Because he was never expected to go in the first until the offseason. Right? We went through an entire college football season where J.J. McCarthy led an undefeated Michigan team to a national title. And I don't think there were any rumblings other than, hey, he's a really toolsy guy who's young, who could go in the first. I don't think any – because
– So, Michael, we've had this conversation
because they won a game
before
at Penn State where they ran the ball like 50 straight times without him throwing.
I understand that. But also – but, like, he was one of the first four names that Trev gave to me in, like, October to watch.
Yeah, I'm not saying he was never in the mix.
But, like, so we've had this conversation about Michael Penix Jr. If you ended the season – after the Texas game and didn't play the national championship game, he was a mid-first round pick that was being talked about as someone that could go in the top 10. At the same point in time, where was J.J. McCarthy's stock?
Let me find. Using NFLMockDraftDatabase.com. So on December 27th, the consensus board had him at 42. And then by January 4th, they're in the playoff. They probably just won. They won a playoff game. They're going to the finals. It's got him at 25.
Okay.
And then he's up around 20. And then right after the combine, the rumbling started. Oh, top 10. Rumblings.
Okay.
Top 10.
So we were talking.
Oh, he might go two.
Yeah.
Oh, you know, he's going higher than you think.
Right.
But like going into the college football playoff, we'll call him a second round player.
Yeah, going in, but then by the end of it, he's a first-round player. It's just in the 20s.
Yeah.
Okay.
So I'm saying, like, I think he's the most likely to not end up in the first round. I'm not saying it was going to happen, but I think that's far more likely than Drake May falling to the second round. Or Jaden Daniels, right? All right. Where are we here? That was Alex. So here's what's on the line here.
Yeah.
On this two-parter. He called it a two-parter, so I think it's an and, not an or, for these two things. But I'll give him the or.
Yeah. No, it says or.
But he initially said, I've got a two-parter. Anyway, Exploding Whales Gear is on the line here. That's his hometown.
We were
meant
to get some of that at some point.
Where are they from? Oregon? Somewhere in Oregon? Salem? What's the town? It's in Eugene, the email, but
Eugene.
I don't have it.
Eugene,
Oregon. Okay, yeah. Exploding Whales gear.
Because they're the
is
Emeralds.
On the line. So you're sitting here rooting. Like, as soon as J.J. McCarthy comes off the board, you're like, you're going to be on the show fist pumping, saying, I got my Exploding Whales gear.
Yeah, that's great.
It's exciting.
Yeah. They were meant to send us some at some point. It just never happened.
Yeah, I mean, we were going to fly you out for our first.
Well, it was that as well. But even beyond that, they were supposed to send us a hat or something, and it never didn't happen.
It's a big, long flight up to Eugene. All right, Jacob Lade. I'll have to predict a run. Okay, so we've got two similar predictions here. See what you like. Jacob says the first 12 picks will be offensive players.
12. Wow.
And then later, we have someone who predicts it's Tim the Toolman Taylor.
Tim the Toolman Taylor.
Tim Allen. He already said, I've got all the name jokes and everything, so lean into it, basically. Tim Allen says... He goes back to like a draft from the 50s, like Jim Brown's draft, where he's like, hey, four of the top eight were,
so it is Tim
were Hall of Famers. Yeah, yeah.
It is Tim Allen.
It's Tim Allen. But he said, I'll do you better. I bet the first 10 picks in this year's NFL draft are on offense. Now, I have to accept Tim Allen's bet because he's offering up Tacoma Campfire Coffee. So if you offer up a specific coffee, I don't care what the bet is, I accept.
Okay.
So he's saying first 10 picks.
So the first 10 is, I think, reasonably... The first 10 essentially is, does Atlanta draft defense?
Chicago, too.
Yeah, but I think generally most people expect that if Roma Dunze or trade out.
You read the press conferences, though.
If you read the press conferences.
Ryan Poles makes a comment about, do you go the interior defensive lineman? You might lean that way if you already have an edge. Yeah. They just paid Montez Sweat. And you put the puzzle pieces together here, Sam.
You
put that piece in with the other piece of the puzzle that people are saying Byron Murphy's going to go high. You know, Byron Murphy's going to be in the top 10. He might be the first defensive player off the board. You start putting those pieces together, Byron Murphy could be the pick at 9 for the Bears.
You are parsing press conference comments in the middle of lying season and extrapolating what that
lying
means.
Season's over. Now it's truth season. We're back season.
Bill Belichick, 12 hours.
Oh, we're not. Early.
We don't hit truth season until tomorrow morning sometime.
12 hours before. That is when
when you wake up,
Baker Mayfield would be the number one.
When you wake up tomorrow morning, that's when the leaks are good information.
Yeah, we're going to wake up tomorrow morning and Will Levis is still going to be the favorite to go number two.
That's when the accurate information is coming out, according to Bill.
So one bet that 10 offensive players, one bet of 12.
Yeah, I mean, I do think that the first one, for the top 10, I genuinely think we're talking about basically Atlanta. Sure, there are other teams that could do it.
Chicago. Atlanta and Chicago.
I don't think Chicago are in the market for defense. I think they're drafting Odunze or the third receiver or they're trading out. I think Atlanta is the one that's looking to go defense at that spot. The 12, like, I don't think it takes much more of a stretch to say, if Atlanta doesn't go defense, it's probably not anybody in the top 12 because the next few teams are those QB needy teams.
If we're talking about teams trying to trade up for tackles, I think Atlanta is the most likely trade candidate, right? Tennessee has a tackle need, and they're right on the fringe of getting one of those blue chip prospects. Atlanta, as I said, when they signed Kirk Cousins, put them in one of the best positions in the draft where they don't have to try to trade up for a QB. Might be a coveted spot. I think Atlanta at 8, if teams are really trying to trade up for tackle, Atlanta's the perfect team to trade down.
To trade down. Yeah.
Trade down is what I'm saying. And sure. that would help this bet happen, right?
Right.
Could have 7 offensive players off the board. Someone trades up to get a tackle. Raiders trade up to 8 to get a tackle, whatever it might be. And Atlanta's down at 13, and they're still getting a great edge defender or a corner or whatever else they might need on the defensive side of the ball. I'll accept both bets, though, because I think they're both, you know, unlikely,
okay.
but possible. Declan O'Neal. This one is a slight attack on Sam, so I accepted it.
Wow.
Due to Sam's recent poor form of predicting wide receiver prospects.
What?
You could defend yourself in a minute. I want to bet that Brian Thomas Jr. will be in the top 2 in this class in their first year in WAR. Happy to donate to a charity of your choice if I lose.
See, this is one of those cognitive distortions where we only focus on the negative, right? Oh, Sam was really high on Jonathan Mingo, therefore he's an idiot. I was also really high on Tank Dell. I was also as low as anybody on Quentin Johnston. I also had Jordan Addison as my number one receiver that draft. Like, why are we only focusing on Mingo, who was in a crappy situation with no hope of survival in year one? Huh?
You telling our listener here. Don't just focus on the negative.
Don't focus on the negative.
You're telling them
it's
that.
It's a cognitive distortion.
Okay.
Don't do it. Don't fall into that trap. I would never.
Pot? Meat? Kettle? No, it's fine. That's fine. All right, yeah. I mean, good defense. But this is a bold one. We won't know until the season's over.
So we want top two in class first year in war. Okay.
Yeah. Sure. In charity of your choice.
Yeah, okay.
Accepted.
Yes, absolutely.
Thomas McCann, the past 2 years I thought
also, that... Also, by the way, how do you escape from that little diatribe? How come I'm taking crap and shrapnel and you're like, fine, even though you're lower on Brian Thomas than most people and, you know,
I don't have him in the teens.
Where'd you have him?
7 or 8, but I'd probably move him up now.
Oh, no. Uh-huh. Yeah, I see.
I'd probably move him up higher. Yeah. The rumblings.
Now that the documentation is already out of the way, we can get him up higher.
Thomas McCann says, the past 2 years, I thought that both Malik Willis and Hendon Hooker would fall farther than people thought, and it worked out. This year, however, I'm saying we have at least 5 first-round quarterbacks and 7 in the first 2 rounds. Is this bold enough? 5 first-round quarterbacks. Like some people said, like it's bold if you say 3.
The over-under is 4.5, right?
So this might not be bold enough here. 7 in the first 2 rounds, I think, makes sense. I think
7 means Rattler goes in the second round.
Yeah. Rattler going by the second. Again, think
that
about this.
Ballsy.
You think so? You think it's good enough?
In
2021, we were talking about Malik Willis, like Thomas was saying. We were talking about Malik Willis being a first rounder.
Right.
And
Spencer Rattler.
Sam Howell sneaking in. Last year, there was a lot of smoke around Hendon Hooker in the first. Much, much smoke about Hendon Hooker going in the first. And he goes in the third.
Yes. Spencer Rattler's current over-under for draft position is 75.5.
Okay.
So it's not crazy, but it's not... It would be taking the unlikelier side of the action if you say he's going in the second.
Wife's sending me Mother's Day gift suggestions.
For your mother or for her?
For her.
Oh, I see.
So I just click buy. I'm done, right? You're done? Done for Mother's Day.
Yeah.
Just buy it and go.
Yeah, easy.
Yeah, I think that's bold enough, though. 5 first round and 7 in the first 2.
Okay. Yeah, like I say, it's not completely out there, but it is taking the unlikelier side on either thing.
Let's do it. Especially the 7 in the first two rounds. I mean, if like Bo Nix ended up in the third, would you be surprised?
Yes.
Really?
Yes.
Okay. Just wondering. Rachel B. says, my bet/prediction/bold prediction is that Joe Alt will not be among the first 2 offensive tackles selected.
First 2?
Rachel, this is bold.
Yeah.
Joe Alt, consensus top tackle on the board. This would mean someone like you looks at Olu Fashanu from Penn State and says, yeah, best pass protector, best upside. We'll teach him a little bit of finish and some run blocking, and that'll be fine. We want him. And then that would take someone saying, we want Talise Fuanga, J.C. Latham.
Well done.
We want one of those guys over Joe Alt. I think it's unlikely. I don't think it's crazy, crazy. I think it's unlikely, though. So I think this is bold from Rachel and accepted.
Agreed.
Wyatt Charter says, Jalen Polk, will be drafted ahead of Ladd McConkey and or Troy Franklin, whichever makes the wager a hot take in your eyes.
The hype around Jalen Polk has been heating up as we get towards the draft. It annoys me because I don't like it when you start off, you know, as like the furthest out, you know, the outlier on a guy, and then everyone else overtakes where you are, and you're like, damn it. Because I don't want to go, because I specifically put in my notes when I went through Jalen Polk's take. Like, and who was it on the show that had the same, essentially the same experience of discovering him while looking at somebody
Nate
else's
Tice.
Tape? Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
So it's like
tomorrow's interview with Nate Tice.
You watch Roma Dunze, you watch Michael Penix Jr., and Jalen Polk keeps jumping out the tape. And you're like, wow, this guy must be really good. And then when I went to watch specifically both Jalen Polk's tape and the rest of the wide receiver class, you're like, okay, this wide receiver class is crazy. And as much as I like Jalen Polk, I don't love him. Like, I specifically wrote in my notes, like, don't go overboard with this. He's good. He isn't great. You know, don't put him in your top 3 or anything. Like, don't go crazy. And yet everyone else is out here going, Jalen Polk's amazing. He's going to go the first round. Now I'm like, it's just annoying. I want to be, you know, pushing the Jalen Polk propaganda, but I can't do it.
So is there a, if you said he was, what would surprise you more if he's drafted ahead of Ladd McConkey?
I would be very surprised if he went above Ladd McConkey at this point.
All right, so let's say Ladd McConkey.
Franklin, I think, seems to be sinking in the eyes of a lot of people.
So let's say if Jalen Polk is drafted ahead of Ladd McConkey, this one hits for Wyatt Charter. Sound good?
Yep.
Teddy, which could be my son, just first name Teddy, has his bold prediction that the Dolphins will draft a wide receiver on day one.
Okay.
Is that bold enough?
Let's see.
What if they took at 21 Brian Thomas Jr., if he gets there? They added him to Tyreek Hill and Jalen Waddle.
So wide receiver is not among their top three draft selections in the mock draft sim, which encompasses tackle at 45.7%, which probably falls in a bunch of interior guys if you're taking, you know, because of the way they're designated. Graham Barton, for example, is possibly listed as a tackle. Troy Fautanu, et cetera. Interior defensive lineman, 26%, and then edge rusher, 11.4%. So wherever wide receiver is in that list, it's below 11.4%, and yeah. None of the top six selections are wide receivers.
I mean, when you're stacking the Dolphins' needs, they're similar to that, right? You lose Christian Wilkins. There's a need on the interior defensive line. There's been an offensive line need the last couple of years to just continue to shore it up, add some depth, add some security, particularly at tackle. I don't think they need an edge rusher, but again, I think you can never have too many, and we know what happened down the stretch last year with everybody getting hurt. Nobody's looking at the Dolphins roster and reading Tyreek Hill, Jalen Waddle, and saying, yeah, need a wide receiver.
Right.
But, you know, what does the draft room look like in Miami? They're like, hey, we get this guy who runs 4.21. All right, good enough for me. Is he a good kid? Great. Throw a round one grade on him. If he's there, we'll take him.
Doesn't matter.
Yeah. Xavier Worthy, do it. Just get the fast guys. So, yeah, I like that. I like this. This would be fun if it happens.
Oh, it would definitely be fun.
So this is a cryptic one from Brian Poles. A guy named Brian Poles says,
yeah.
The Chicago Bears. So Brian Poles has emailed in with a bold prediction about the Chicago Bears, that the Bears will pick swap their ninth pick with the Cowboys. The Cowboys are what, at 24, 25? Pick swap with the Cowboys, plus change to even things out, for one of the high-profile players Dallas can't afford to pay. Don't ask me how I know this. Brian Poles.
How many high-priced players can they not afford to pay? I mean, obviously, they're in the middle of this Dak Prescott contract negotiation. They're not getting rid of him.
You've got Dak, CeeDee Lamb, and Micah Parsons.
Right. You tell me they can't afford to keep those three players.
Nobody's saying that.
Okay, so what I'm asking is, if they can keep all three of those players, who are they losing? Who are the high-priced players they can't afford to keep?
Zeke.
Yeah. So I don't see the player that's involved.
I mean, Tyron
there.
Smith, they've had to take some hits on their
roster. Right, but in order for this to happen, who's the player that they're losing? Who are we talking about here?
Oh, so he's trying to say... Oh, he's trying to say they're coming to get somebody for one of, like, CD, like, in exchange for CD Lamb, losing CD
right.
Lamb. Oh, okay. I read this as, like, oh, they're just going to draft, you know, this next star that they won't be able to afford down the road. That's what
no,
I was
I'm reading this as they're trading.
So they're going to come up and get, like, a Roma
Dunze.
9 for
24 plus CD Lamb.
They're going to get Roma Dunze. Oh, okay. So you're saying, like, they're part of the trade?
Yeah.
Okay, I didn't read it like that. This would be an interesting one. A pick swap. So I wonder if this is... So this would be like, okay, see, this would be like a CeeDee Lamb type of move.
Yeah.
I mean, they're keeping Micah Parsons. CeeDee Lamb would be the guy that they would... If this was real, from Brian Poles.
So this is Dallas trading CeeDee Lamb
to
for,
go get,
for
like,
Roma Dunze and the balancing out of the draft picks.
Yeah. I mean, it's bold.
Hell of a
I mean,
call.
Obviously, it's bold and
yeah, it's a hell of a call.
It. Yeah, it's a good
I
call.
Can't see any way it
don't ask,
happens.
Don't ask how he knows this.
I'm not asking.
I like that bold take. Mark Mercer says bold draft prediction: Mike Sanristil goes in the first round. That's the slot corner out of Michigan.
Yep.
I think it's bold because he's a fringe first rounder, but you don't get slot corner types. My thing is, if Brian Branch didn't go in the first round last year, I don't see Mike Sanders still going in the first round this year. So
same, although at least Brian Branch had the crappy 40 time dragging him down. Like he ran the 4.5s, right? Like 4.55 or something.
Yeah. Oh, I'm coming up on the Dan Patrick Show.
Yeah?
How are we going to do that? How's that happen?
This is some
people are telling me.
Yeah. How many? No, it's a Doug Gottlieb show that's live in 235 media markets, right?
What's no? Dan's live on Peacock.
Ah.
Of okay. Which we will also, I believe, be live on Peacock Sunday, recapping the draft. We're going to be on Peacock. Get that Peacock subscription.
Nice.
Or dust it off if you know if you just only got it for Chiefs Dolphins and you're still paying.
Dust it off.
Dust it off. And check us out on Sunday.
It's worth getting because it's got a lot of the sports stuff. So it's got like the Premier League and stuff, and maybe yeah. another league that I
it's watch. It's got WWE Network.
San Francisco is 37 on the consensus board.
Wow, he's moving up. He's moving up. A lot of people have pegged him to like the Texans in the second. But yeah, bold if he goes in the first, I would say.
Yeah,
given all the other players that are being mocked right. in the 25 to 35 range.
Yes, and given what he is, which is this right. pure slot defender, and the NFL still just does not place a first-round value on those guys.
Do you agree on the Mike Hilton comp?
Eh.
Mike Hilton, NFL slot corner, formerly of the Steelers, currently of the Bengals, who I believe, this is why, the way I would describe Mike Hilton, like your perfect zone corner slot defender who gets nasty versus the run, right? Gets dirty in the run game, is a blitzer, is a playmaker, will pick off a screen pass and make some big plays. But then if you leave him one-on-one in man coverage, get some ugly reps in there too. Mike Hilton getting exploited in the Super Bowl. And Sanders still has some of those plays on film too where he's just like one-on-one with receivers and getting wrecked. But he's the dude that you just want on your team because he's going to, you know, pop a running back when he gets in, makes a play in the hole. He's got great ball skills, former receiver. Just reminds me very much of Mike Hilton and the impact that Mike Hilton has on a defense as a slot corner.
No, comp for him is Kenny Moore.
Okay. Another feisty slot corner.
Yeah.
I'll ask the people if that's the most perfect comp that's ever been comped, which you don't think it is.
I don't.
Let's see. Got about 10 more. Mark Treasurer. Hey, guys, how about the Cardinals ending up taking at least three players in this year's first round, but importantly, also not trading back from four with the Vikings, Broncos, Raiders, whoever else wants J.J. McCarthy. So the prediction here from Mark Treasurer is the Cardinals, who have picks 4 and 27, will add a third first-round pick, but also keep pick 4 somehow.
Right. So they presumably want to draft Marvin Harrison Jr. or yeah. Malik Nabers. And then somehow get an extra first-round pick, which would be difficult to do using pick number 27, right? So presumably means they basically need to trade back into the first round using
next year.
35 yeah. and futures or yeah. the third-round picks, of which they have three.
But moving That's from doable. 35 to 32 or 31 right. is not crazy. So I think I like it. It's bold. And Mark's putting up some sort of coffee from London.
Some
so
sort
we
of
accept.
Coffee from London.
We accept. This is not difficult, people. You put up coffee. Doesn't matter where it's from. You put up coffee, we'll probably accept the bet.
Okay, yeah.
Philip Erickson says three centers will go in round one, and he puts Graham Barton as a center.
Ooh, okay.
As well as Jackson Powers Johnson and Zach Frazier from West Virginia. So I think for this to be true, the drafting team, it's got to be like Miami drafts Graham Barton and declares him a center, even
yes.
though they just – signed Aaron Brewer,
right?
So a team has to draft Graham Barton. Steelers draft Graham Barton. He's the center of the future, right? They need to declare it and not just say we'll figure it out.
Right.
Once it's declared and he's a center, by year one, right, he's going to be a year one center.
Yeah. Once they – I mean, he needs to be listed as a center whenever the team unveils him or names him or, you know, when the official designation is put on him as a center, you get to claim him as a center. You don't get to just claim Graham Barton as a center regardless of where he lands, even if they're calling him a guard or a tackle.
Correct. All right, so we accept Philip Erickson. Joe Losky says, my draft hot take slash prediction is that Michael Penix gets picked by the Commanders because he dominated the Top Golf yes. test. As we know from you two, looking back at the last 25 drafts, with no hindsight bias, of course, the Top Golf test is clearly the best indicator of QB performance.
Uh-huh.
Now, I would say for this to happen, I do not expect the Washington Commanders to take Michael Penix Jr. at two. Clearly not. However, if they looked at his sweet lefty stroke during Top Golf and the way that he commanded the Top Golf course and his teammates, if they saw the way that happened and they go back to the draft board and they fire up their trade simulators and the Jimmy Johnson chart and they're like, wait, we could take pick two, pick up a slew of picks, trade down to 13, 14, 15, 18, 20, whatever it might be, and still draft Michael Penix Jr., Top Golf champion, as well as having a plethora of future first-round picks to build around Michael Penix Jr. That would be the scenario, I think, for this to come true.
Does he swing a golf club lefty? They don't always, lefties. Sometimes they swing
I took a little
right.
poetic license and
I don't know if you're wrong. I'm just curious. I'm asking.
I don't know. I mean, certainly it's not set in stone. I don't know.
Yeah.
But it sounded better if we said a sweet lefty swing during the Top Golf outing.
I mean, it makes sense. He throws left-handed, so it would, you know, you
I like
think.
This. I like this from Joe.
Sure.
All right, Jacob Smith says, I'll bet a coffee.
A coffee.
Come on.
Like a cup?
Come on, man. That doesn't last more than one sitting here. I'll bet a coffee that the Patriots trade down from three and later trade up for a QB. Let me know if this works. Does it work, Sam? Patriots trade down, then trade up, draft a QB.
Okay, if New England trades out at three, right, which I think is on the table as a possibility, let's say...
This matches the rumors, by the way. There is one big-name insider who has claimed that we're going to see some trades up on draft night and also...
And down.
Some trades down.
Got to trade down as well.
So this meshes with the hype.
So if they're trading down... It has to be with a team like Minnesota or Denver or the Raiders. Like, the Giants don't count because they can't trade back up from that spot and get... I guess they could lower down. Anyway, so let's say it's Minnesota, Denver, the Raiders. So they end up in that horrible row that those teams are occupying. And so are they trading up from that spot or lower down to get where? Like, what would your... If you're trading out... In my opinion, if you're trading out for New England... You're essentially punting on the quarterback market this year. Like, I wouldn't be that interested in trading out and still grabbing a guy in the top 40 draft picks.
It goes back to what you said about rankings, though. If they legitimately say, so if they think we would rank Caleb Williams and Jaden Daniels in some level of tier above everyone else, they go one and two. And they're like, we really don't see a big difference between Drake May, J.J. McCarthy, and Michael Penix Jr. Right. So it would, to me, it would need to be at like three of those guys.
Yeah,
it would need to include. That are in the same tier.
It would need to include one of Michael Penix Jr. or Bo Nix. Like, you need to have one of those guys in the next tier and say, there's no difference between these three, so we can drop back low enough to still get Bo Nix or Michael Penix Jr. and pick up all the extra stuff.
So they would have to. They would say trade down with the Vikings.
But if you're Minnesota,
and have pick 11.
Yeah, let's say that's
the
deal.
This is the scenario. Trade down to 11. The Vikings come up, they take Drake May, and then the Patriots go from 11 to, say, 8 with the Falcons, and they get QB4. Maybe it's J.J. McCarthy still there, maybe it's
See, I think you're, I don't think you're – I think you would trade and get 11 and 23, and you would use 11 on a defender or whatever, and you'd use – 23 is the pick you're moving. 23 is the pick you're jumping up a bit just to make sure you get the guy that was the Bo Nix, Michael Penix Jr. guy. Like, you let QB4, who you don't think – 3 and 4 you don't think are great, go off the board, and actually you're targeting QB5 that you think is the same as QB3.
Yeah, but at some point you're going to – you might run out of time. So you might need to get to 8 to get QB5 anyway.
You might need to get 8 to get QB5?
Yeah, because if May's off the board, maybe someone else jumps up to get JJ or the Giants take him at 6.
But that's where I think you just have to say – The
I'm saying for this to work, though, there's got to be a trade down and a trade up.
But in this idea, I think if that's the dynamic, right, if suddenly the QBs are just flying off the board and you need to get up to 8 to get the fifth guy, that's where I think you need to just say this has gotten silly. We're dealing with, like, hyperinflation. This is not a rational market. This is like a housing crisis going on, right? Like, these are not real prices we're dealing with here. And you need to just say, no, we'll come back. We'll either get it next year or we'll get it in the second round. We're not doing this. This is inflationary prices that are ridiculous. Like, you shouldn't. That's how you end up with the 2011 draft, where we go up and we get Christian Ponder or Jake Locker, like guys that had no earthly business being ranked that high, but But the QBs started flying off the board, so we just had to go and get them.
I feel like it was easier to know that those guys had no business being first rounders at the time than it is now. We didn't get, like, Blaine Gabbert, Jake Locker, and Christian Ponder. My novice eye back then was
like,
I don't know.
But don't you think we've gotten better at talking ourselves into this? Like, J.J. McCarthy fits the category of those guys, but we've gotten better at articulating why you can construct a case for him going in the top five.
Yeah. I mean, Jake Locker, you could construct the case because that dude had tools.
Right. But that's what I'm saying. All you're doing now is moving it. Like, all we're doing now is getting better at finding an argument to put him in the top five.
The analytics would have J.J. McCarthy as pick two, according to people that say the analytics.
Yeah.
All right. I accept this trade from Jacob Smith for a coffee. We already did Tim Allen and the Tacoma Campfire Coffee. Here's a good one. Zach Gelfand.
You only say this is a good one because of the thing that's being offered.
It's a good offer.
Yeah.
Of course. The Bears will trade up for Marvin Harrison Jr. That's not bold. Specific, bold, and takes a move from 9-3. Or takes the Bears taking him at 1.
Okay.
I'm just saying that's a possibility.
No, because it says trade up.
Oh, trade up. Okay. So yeah, trade not, from 9. So that would be,
I
like
guess technically you
next
could,
year's first rounder.
Technically, you could argue they have traded up to that spot because they traded. That's Carolina's pick.
I mean, listen, if Marvin Harrison Jr. goes number one overall,
I'm willing to,
he wins.
I'm
the
willing
back.
To claim it. Yeah, I'm willing to say to. I'm willing to make his own argument for him and say that that's technically trading up because that's insane. So yeah, it's essentially trading up from 9 to probably 4, right? You're not trading 9-3. To get Marvin Harrison.
Yeah, probably to 4.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I, yeah, that's bold.
Okay. Now, why do you want to accept this bet?
Because Zach's putting up a $500 gift card to his brewery / restaurant, Tonality Brewing, the next time we're in Chicagoland. They're 20 minutes from Hallis Hall.
Okay.
$500 gift card.
That's good.
I don't drink. That's a lot of food. That might be a couple sittings. So yeah.
Not for you.
Of course, bet accepted. Might have to make a trip out there next year.
Apparently.
Wait, where do the Bears do training camp? They're not somewhere.
Oh, damn it. What's the place called?
Champagne?
Berea? Berea? Is that them or is that the Browns?
No, that's the Browns. Man.
Browns? Where are the Bears?
Sorry, I'm not this is bad. NFL experts here. I'm not a training camp location expert unless I've traveled there. Never been to Bears camp. Don't embarrass the family.
Don't embarrass the family?
That's what I tell my kids.
Sports club in Lake Forest, Illinois, apparently.
Yeah, I knew it. That's probably not near there, huh? But we'll go. We'll go to Chicagoland. We'll go spend $500 if the Bears don't trade up for Marvin Harrison Jr. Levon Myers.
It's not far. It's only the north side of Chicago.
Okay, perfect. Yeah, let's go to training camp next year. Stop by. Levon Myers says, A.D. Mitchell is the 23rd overall pick, regardless of what team is picking there.
I see.
Doesn't matter.
I like that.
And part of his prediction was, look, the Vikings have pick 23 right now. They are unlikely to make a wide receiver bet. But the New England Patriots, the Los Angeles Chargers, all these other wide receiver needy teams, someone's going to make
teams that they trade with are likely to.
Correct.
Yeah.
So he's just got A.D. Mitchell, pick 23, lock it in. I like it.
Okay.
Zach Doberman has another Marvin Harrison Jr. prediction. It's that the New York Jets will draft Marvin Harrison Jr. So this is very similar to the Bears one. The Jets are sitting there a pick behind the Bears at pick 10. And MHJ to the Jets would involve some level of trade up or a fall for Marvin Harrison Jr.
Yeah. Did you read that Bruce Feldman article that was – he does one that's sort of like a last-minute buzz around the league.
I haven't gotten
insiders.
To it yet. No. I like all the buzz.
All of the insiders that he talks to have reached that crazy overthinking Marvin Harrison Jr. stage of the process where it's like, yeah, is he even all that? It's just pretty good. You know, I don't really see it on tape. I don't really see the explosion. I don't see 23 miles an hour. It's like recorded. What do you mean you don't see it? It's there.
I don't see the scouts are funny.
He's like, one of the guys said, I don't see him running by people on tape. I'm like, dude, I could create you a tape that's multiple minutes long of him just running by people on go routes. Like, what are you talking about?
We should do that before the draft. Just put it out there.
We can't. We're not allowed. No, I put it that people will come for us.
Not a lot to put all 22
the militant
there.
College film people will be all up in our business.
I did a little research a few weeks ago. I don't if I said it on the show already, I'll repeat it anyway. Marvin Harrison Jr. is number 3. Is he still number 3 on the consensus draft board? The only players on the
4 so now.
4? on the one I'm using.
Oh, that's the consensus mock draft, not the big board.
I still have him at three on still, NFL mockdraftdatabase.com.
Three.
So the data on NFL mockdraftdatabase.com goes back to 2015 or 16. Since that point, the players that have ranked in the top three on the consensus board and fallen out of the top five picks, right? So if Marvin Harrison Jr. was to fall to 6, 7, 8, 10, whatever it might be, here are the players who have had a similar fall. Jamal Adams at safety, Leonard Williams, Quentin Nelson, Penei Sewell, Ed Oliver, and then Laramie Tunsil. Those are all the good names on the list. The bad name is Evan Neal. So it's 6 out of 7 who have become above average, you know, good starters, above average. I think Ed Oliver's fringe if you just take his entire career, but he just signed a big second contract. He's a good player. 6 out of 7 became very good players. So if you're talking about, are we overthinking Marvin Harrison Jr.? Historically, yes. So Jamal Adams was good enough for a while. Leonard Williams, Quentin Nelson, Penei Sewell, like these have become some of the better players at their position. And they were, by the consensus, top three type of players. And for whatever reason, they fell because of depth, because of QBs, because of overthinking, because of gas mask videos, whatever it was, reasons that they fell. In other words, I feel like Marvin Harrison Jr. is still a very safe bet. And if he does fall to 6 and the Giants get him at 6 or whoever gets him at 7, 8, 9, whatever it might be, it is a very good pick. So do not overthink Marvin Harrison Jr., in my opinion.
Yeah. I do think that there is a fair conversation to be had that focuses on Malik Nabers and his rare twitch and explosion and preferring him slightly over Marvin Harrison. I do think that people are taking it a little bit too far and saying, you know, Harrison isn't actually that good. It's like, he's really good at everything. Like, really, really good at everything. You can't, you know, it's one thing to sort of say, what we're seeing from Malik Nabers is special, and I think it's slightly more special than the composite of all the good things of Marvin Harrison. But you can't then, in the act of articulating that, say, you know, Harrison's just okay. Because he's not. Like, he's special. He is rare. He might be the best receiver prospect to come along since, you know, maybe Calvin Johnson. That's 15 years. If not, he's right up there. And so your argument is, with that baseline, Malik Nabers might be better. And that means he's insane, right? You can't, like, take away the Harrison part to make the Nabers case.
Fact checker Ben has corrected me on a misstatement from earlier in the show, way back.
Oh, yeah?
Jack Conklin was a Tennessee Titans draft pick at 8 overall, not Cleveland Browns. He's currently a Cleveland Brown. He was absolutely a Tennessee Titans draft pick. I was wrong. Thank you, Ben, for chiming in, as always. He's doing a little cross-checking on a few players for us right now, Ben's doing his draft scouting now.
Oh, now?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, because he's got real work to do.
24 hours out.
And now it's like, oh, well, you know, we got time. Right now, we got a
day. Now's the time to start the draft.
He's going to crank out some draft scouting, give us his takes. He hates everybody historically, so if he likes somebody,
it's a big deal.
Big yeah. Plus. All right, so we have a couple hashtag vault me's, and we'll wrap it up. So now, like, you know, the guy with the Pats prediction was like, oh, I'll give you a coffee. We got Cider Combo here, who says coffee and donuts for the office.
Nice.
Versus a PFF subscription says, listen to this. Jaden Daniels will be the 4th QB drafted.
Ooh.
Vault me. Hashtag vault me.
He seems to be the one least likely to slide, right? Not necessarily for a particularly good reason, just because I don't find many people out there that are really low on him. It's either the people that are very low on somebody are very low on J.J. McCarthy or Drake May.
Yeah.
Not Daniels or Caleb.
Yeah, nobody's really low on Jaden Daniels.
You missed out the previous one. The Jets drafting Marvin Harrison.
We just spent
talking about the...
No, him. this was in response to the Jets drafting Marvin Harrison.
We just talked about the Bears trading up for him.
Right, and then we did one on A.D. Mitchell going 23.
Yeah.
And then I said, also, Zach Doberman has a Marvin Harrison one that says the Jets will draft him. Right. And that's when you went on your Marvin Harrison Jr.'s great rant.
All right.
And I talked about him falling, and that was for the Jets. It's good, though. We're good. We'll just cut that part out. Lions first pick in the draft, per Bobby Lloyd here. Lions first pick in the draft is a QB. Hashtag vault me. That's bold.
Yeah. So that's bottom of the first round, or if they trade back.
Yeah. I mean, you mentioned about being early. You mentioned the idea of, I liked a player early, and then everyone else liked him more than me, and now I'm like lower on him than others. I have similar things where I look at a player and I say, I would love to have this guy at a certain point in the draft. And then all of a sudden the hype gets out of control and he's going to go way higher than usual. The players that come to mind here is, I thought Roma Dunze, not saying he's not a top 10 player, I thought Roma Dunze, as I was watching him throughout the season, I was like, man, this would be a great mid-first round pick for a team like the Cincinnati Bengals or the Jacksonville Jaguars as you're seeing the draft order unfold. And then it's like, no, he's going top 10. We also have Chris Sims out there saying, well, some teams have him 15 to 20. Some teams have him top 10. Could he actually fall? And then the other one was Michael Penix Jr. thinking, I would love to take him in the second.
Yeah.
Similar teams. I'm thinking of the Bengals, right? Like just having, well, I know they just had Jake Browning, but they might have this QB security. But teams that need a backup, developmental player, might want to hedge a little bit if they didn't want to pay a Jared Goff in Detroit, or if you didn't want to pay a Baker Mayfield in a few years in Tampa Bay. I don't know. I just thought Michael Penix Jr. would be a very good second-round pick. Could he be a guy for the Lions to fulfill this bet?
Sure.
In the first.
Their team, remember, they ended up stopping the slide of Hendon Hooker last year. He ended up going in the third round after being talked about as potentially in this kind of ballpark, right? Bottom of the first. To Detroit, actually, was a team that was being talked about at times. And then he ends up going in the third round, and we have no idea what he is because – you know, nobody's seen him since then, essentially, right? Do you think that – so there's this dynamic that the second-round quarterbacks have a terrible track record, right? Because generally speaking, if teams almost treat quarterbacks in the draft as like this binary thing, he's either a first-rounder or he's not, and if he's not, we can get him later. Do you think that actually plays into causing teams to overdraft quarterbacks? They're like –
Do they actually have a bad track record?
Well, though? They're like, if we determine this guy as a second-round quarterback, he's probably not going to work out. So we almost talk ourselves into the idea that he's a first-rounder, really, so we can get him in the first and feel better about it. If we draft him in the second, we've effectively already waved the white flag saying that he's not really the guy.
Do second-round quarterbacks actually have a bad track record, though?
I mean, There's a few that have worked out, but I don't think it's good.
So, like, here's the deal, right? What is good? Andy Dalton, second round. Yeah. Derek Carr, second round. Jalen Hurts, second round. Now, Geno Smith, second round. Geno Smith certainly didn't work with the Jets, who drafted him, but, you know, later in his career, panned out. But two of those quarterbacks specifically, Andy Dalton and Derek Carr, are the exact quarterback where I think if you have him on a rookie contract, you can win some games and – you know, it helps your roster and everything, but as soon as you have to pay him, it's like, oh, do we really want to, right? Yeah. And we want, like, where is this mid-tier quarterback contract? Find it for me, please. I need it right now.
So, second-round quarterbacks. This is going to be great content.
Christian Hackenberg.
Let's go back by year. As you said, second round in 2020, Jalen Hurts. 2022 was that was third round, sorry.
There was nobody in 22.
No, so 2020 was the last second-round quarterback, Jalen Hurts. The year before that, 19, was Drew Locke. Then we have a gap. Then we have DeShone Kizer. Then we have Christian Hackenberg. And then we have Derek Carr, Jimmy G.
Jimmy G, too, yeah. This is a good track record, actually.
Not of second up round until teams. Those guys, it wasn't. Geno Smith.
Brock
Osweiler.
Look at hit rates, though.
Andy Dalton, Colin Kaepernick, Jimmy Clausen, Pat White.
So look, stop right now. So since 2008, off the top of my head,
we can't stop right now. We got one more we need to mention.
John Beck.
Brian Brohm and...
John Beck, 2007.
And Chad Henne.
Chad Henne. So Henne, I would not say is a hit. He started a bunch of football games, but...
Kevin
Cobb.
That was Kevin Cobb, John Beck, and Drew Stanton.
Okay. So off the top of my head... Jimmy G, I mean, after listening to you read and trying to accumulate in my head.
Yes.
Jimmy G, Colin Kaepernick, Derek Carr, Andy Dalton, Jalen Hurts. Five good, solid, whatever you want to call them, starters out of what, 15, 16, whatever the...
Yeah, something like that.
I mean, that's a pretty decent
hit rate
over time if you're viewing it through that lens. Now, look, all five of those guys are not guys where you're like, Maybe Jalen Hurts. Hurts probably the best of them. But one out of all of those are like, got to give this guy a second contract. Did Derek Carr get a second contract? Did Dalton? Yes. Like, did those guys get second contracts? Yes. But they're also the QB that leaves you wanting more.
What the second round appears to give you, which is different, I think, than the first, is complete bust or solid viable starter. Nothing else, with the possible exception of Jalen Hurts, who could push himself into, you know, who's like that borderline top tier type of guy when he's playing at his best. So I think that's the point, is that in this world that is chasing the elite quarterback, because that's the thing you really want, there doesn't appear to be any evidence you're going to find that guy in the second
round. Find an elite guy, no. But I do think...
So is that convincing
teams... But finding a first contract starter...
Right, but is that convincing teams to draft these guys in the first round, because they're like, if we take him in the second, we've already essentially admitted he's not that guy.
Yeah, I think so, because when you're evaluating quarterbacks, we talk about this all the time, you're setting a high standard. You're saying the standard is really high, and if we don't think that the standard is top half of the first round, we don't really want them anywhere.
Honestly, the
fun part with data here is, like, Lamar Jackson went 32. So Lamar Jackson was one pick away from being considered a second rounder.
The bigger takeaway when you look at it by year might actually be how often there isn't a second round quarterback at all. Like, how often the jump goes from we're grabbing the guys in the first round and then we're done until the third round, and that's when we get our guys that aren't first rounders. Like, there's almost this psychological block in the NFL where they say a guy is either a first rounder who can be a starter and a star, or he is not, in which case we get those guys in the third round because they're backups from then on in. Like, there's this, I would say, I haven't looked at, but like 50% of the years don't have a second round quarterback. They jump straight from first to third.
Yeah, I think that's often true. Hendon Hooker, first round hype, goes in the third. There's so many QBs that have gotten first round hype.
Sure.
Went in the third.
And it's not, and they don't just slide to the second, they slide like all the way.
Yeah. So anyway, pretty bold take to say that the Lions would draft a QB in the first.
Yep.
That's about 30 predictions and bets.
We should probably take Philly Joe's on the basis that otherwise he's the one person we didn't take.
I said I would. Nate Wiggins to the Eagles.
It was maybe the chalkiest of bets we've had, but
that's fine.
Just because he's the one exclusion. Let's take it.
Understood. Was there some late additions? Andrew Gunter says 5 QBs go in the first round. Is that strong enough? He puts up Starbucks gift card again.
Again, it's 4.5, I think, is the over-under right now. So it's just taking one side of that. That doesn't feel.
And then Frank Breedlove, I'm willing to take this. Good morning, Sam and Big Goofy. No, it's Big Goofy and Grouchy, usually, that people are leaning into.
We had one submission. We asked for people to design us a little.
Did you send that to Tyler?
Yeah, a little Photoshop or a little logo or a whatever. And we had one submission from somebody who, I mean, on the one hand, I want to say it produced great results and he went to the effort. On the other hand, I think he just plugged it into an AI thing and said, here, spit me out a picture of Big Goofy and Grumpy or whatever it was.
Yeah, whatever. It came pretty good.
I just feel like, I feel there's more there, We've got to have people
in our
listenership that are, Photoshop wizards. The table here is to be done. Somebody already did the kind of halfway Big Goofy mashup of Goofy sitting on the chair.
Yeah.
It's only a small step to get a trash can and Oscar the Grouch sitting here on the other side. It's got to be done. Somebody's got to be able to do it.
Anyway, Frank Breedlove says his bold prediction is Spencer Rattler getting drafted before Bo Nix.
Wow.
I think that's a bold one. Rattler, he said, I think Rattler in the second round, Nix in round 3 or 4.
Oh, there we go.
You guys may get some coffee out of it, but Rattler has some special to his game, and Nick seems entirely a product of his environment. So, yeah, this was the first submission. Is this the better one? Yeah.
Yeah. I feel cheated out of a beard in this picture.
Yeah, the AI didn't pick that up.
No,
I think he put the work in. I don't think this is just AI generated.
It is. I know that because he said it was AI generated.
Oh, did he? I didn't read the words with it.
Right.
That's a good starting point. But yeah, you need a beard.
I think it has you fairly well captured.
With my crooked smile?
I mean, I think that's quite a good... That's quite a good Big Goofy avatar.
Goofy face stuck in.
Like, you have come out of that better than I have come out of that.
You look real grumpy.
Yes, and beardless.
Yeah.
I mean, the bald thing is fair enough. There's not much I can do about that.
Stitch a beard on there.
The beardless thing.
And you're good.
I think is it's harsh.
How long have we been going? thought we needed more time. I thought we might need some emails. Do you want to do the emails or not?
Well, since you got them, yeah.
All right, a couple of them. We had a question about model baselines from Larry Wilson. So what fraction of consensus board second-round picks become solid players? What about consensus board second who are at least 80% in the model become solid players? Feel free to leave out quarterbacks. I've left out QBs and running backs because the standard that I've set for solid is basically 60th percentile WAR per season using every season, starter season of WAR back to 2006. And what I've found from running backs is very few, if any, running backs actually hit that standard anymore because of injury and a lack of volume and because of, you know, sharing workload and everything.
Okay.
So it's tough for running backs to really be called solid players using this threshold. And then he said you could combine second and third round. So that's what I did. So by this 60th percentile WAR per season over the course of your career, that's a solid player. And in the second or third round, no QBs, no running backs, 16% of the draft picks become solid. But my model 80th percentile players, instead of 16%, it jumps up to 28% of the players become solid during that period of time. Now, the other interesting number is that the percentage of starters, and the way I define starters is about 500 snaps per season. 46% starter overall. My model only finds 49% starters. So what my model's doing so far is not identifying starters or the players that the NFL is going to put on the field. It's finding the guys who are going to play better. So 28% solid versus 16% solid. I also looked at day three. Only 4% of your day three picks become solid or better. Only 4%. And that triples with the model, 12%. Of day three players become solid. So it's a low hit rate regardless if you're looking for that high standard of solid player, but it's improved if you look at 80th percentile model players. So of course I had to answer that question.
Yeah, naturally.
It makes me look good.
Definitely.
I think. Someone else, Justin Pitt, a random thought the other day that could lead to a bigger question. I was thinking about recent offensive tackles who have come out of Alabama and realized that all of them have become busts. Now, we'll talk about that in a second. Jedrick Wills, Alex Leatherwood, Jonah Williams, and Evan Neal are the ones that come to mind. If I'm forgetting someone, Adam, so Cam Robinson, maybe you'd add to the mix as a second-round pick. This leads me to a bigger question. Do you ever consider recent draft history when the trend of picking a certain position at a certain school has produced similar results over and over again? That's, again, from Justin Pitt. Now, calling Jonah Williams a bust is probably the biggest stretch there. He started and was a solid player before some injury and a flip to right tackle. I wouldn't call him a complete bust, but clearly all first-round picks – Jedrick Wills, Alex Leatherwood, Jonah Williams, and Evan Neal, none of them have lived up to first-round type of hype. And throw Cam Robinson in there as a fringe first. He's been good, fine, solid, but not – he doesn't fit my solid threshold that I was just talking about. Let's just say that.
Yeah.
He's been a below-average tackle over the course of his career.
I wonder how far he could go back with that, actually, because DJ Fluker is another sort of former first-round –
He came good after a few years.
Not a tackle, though.
No. Didn't he have one good right tackle year? Okay. Okay. Who else came out of Bama?
I don't know. It's just Fluker is the guy that jumped to mind as another
tackle.
One from Bama.
Chris Samuels was fine.
Yes.
Now Saban era offensive tackles for Alabama. So what do you think that there's – I have some thoughts, but what are your thoughts? Do you think there's something to, hey, you know, Alabama tackles or whatever the position group is?
Generally, I wouldn't put a ton of stock in it unless – the team in question is running a specific scheme that clearly influences something. And you're like, well, okay, we need like the Tennessee, right? If Tennessee had spat out this current Tennessee offense, if it had spat out like an endless run of like first round wide receivers and all of them stank because none of them could make the adjustment from that weird offense that doesn't bear any resemblance to NFL football. And you're like, all right, it's probably time we learn that lesson, right? Receivers coming out of this system are not going to make this seamless jump, even if they have height, weight, speed, you know, all the things that we look for, the traits of being an elite wide receiver. And I'm not saying, for the record, that is the case, right, currently. I'm just saying if that was our scenario here, that you had a school that does have an unusual type of offense or defense that had produced a bunch of players at a certain position that had struggled making the jump, then sure, let's adjust our expectations. But I don't think you can really argue that with Alabama. For a start, they run different schemes.
Yeah, I think the question you would ask yourself, so if you did play this game, would you have missed out on C.J. Stroud, right? You would say, well, Ohio State's right. never produced a quarterback, and the most recent ones in this system were Dwayne Haskins and Justin Fields. Man, I'm not going to go down the C.J. Stroud path, and so now he's a completely different player. Or if you said, never will I draft an air raid QB, right. certainly not one from Texas Tech, that's never going to work. And then you just eliminated Patrick Mahomes. So I think it's lazy to be like, well, the other Bama tackles didn't work, therefore these guys won't. I do think there's something bigger at play, though, and other people have done studies on this, where if you go all the way back to like recruiting rankings do a pretty good job of being directional to first-round picks at certain positions. And it's usually the positions that are more athletic, like running back and receiver and corner, right? It's those positions. But the positions like offensive line, which are more nuanced, more technique-driven, say, less athleticism-driven, and what?
I'm just searching now. Alabama tackles have been drafted. James Carpenter.
He was a guard. He was a good guard, though.
It's not a great record. Andre Smith.
So offensive tackle, though, right? So the reason why they went to Alabama is because they were top recruits. And of all the positions where the top recruits don't matter as much, it's offensive line. So that's where if you went back and you said, did we artificially elevate some of the Bama tackles because we saw a lot of them play? They usually come in, they start as freshmen, you get 3 years of it, you know, watching them as a starter. Did we artificially inflate them? Maybe.
The last unquestioned hit from an Alabama high draft pick tackle is Chris Samuels.
Wow. Interesting.
I still don't necessarily think there's signal in that, but it is quite wild that you have to go back to 2000 to find the last unquestioned hit, when considering how regularly they get drafted high in the draft.
Look, there was a point where the end of the Mack Brown era in Texas where evaluators would say, I don't want Texas players, they're soft.
Right.
That's what they were saying, right? I'm just repeating what evaluators thought. And so what they saw was they're recruiting the same type of player and they're putting him in the same type of environment. In this recent history of the players who came out of this environment have looked like X in the NFL, and I don't want that. So people do it.
Yeah.
People have done it, and you know, this might be a decent point to bring up. I'm not saying that they'll never work out. You evaluate each individual on his own merits. But I do think there's something to, you don't need to always get the highest recruits once you're drafting. And maybe these guys are inflated a little bit because they were high recruits. They played a lot of football. They did it at Bama, when we know that offensive line is more of a developmental position and it takes time. And maybe some, you know, the three-star late bloomers actually do pretty well at the NFL level historically. All right. That's my answer.
Nice.
Well, it's draft eve. And we got...
Can we cover the breaking news?
What's the breaking news?
Amon-Ra St. Brown, the Lions wide receiver, signed
traded?
A four-year extension for more than $120 million with $77 million guaranteed, according to Ian Rappaport on Twitter.
Wow.
X. Whatever.
You're not going to drop the agent shout-out?
No.
Who negotiated the deal so that
I feel like
Rap Sheet, who's feeding the information to our
I feel like Rap Sheet covers the agent angle well.
No, that's good. Amon-Ra, yeah, good for him, man. Just a few years ago, we were talking about him. Fourth round pick, becomes a massive steal for the Lions. I think he just epitomizes what the Lions want in players. Dude makes plays over the middle.
Crazy
tackle,
career.
I
mean,
gets open.
You know, 3 years immediately, year one, 90 catches. Year two, 106. Year three, 119. PFF grades of 79 right out of the gate. Then 2 years of 90+. He's caught 76.5% of the passes thrown his way in his career. He's dropped only like 3% of his targets in his NFL career. So some of the best hands in the NFL. He's averaged 2.3 yards per route run for his career, which is a ridiculously good number. Over two is a very productive receiver. His contested catches are good, even though he's primarily a slot guy. He's just become one of the best receivers in the NFL, albeit one that, you know, maybe, I mean, 55% of his snaps come from the slot. You can't just make him an X receiver, right? He has a role in the NFL, but in that role, he's one of the best receivers out there.
Yeah, he's been fantastic. It's an interesting time for Detroit, right? Where I believe the depth that they have, that they've built on that roster, some of the best in the league. And now they're at a point where Penei Sewell's contract's going to be coming up soon. We know they have to pay Jared Goff if they want to keep him around. We know in a few years, Aiden Hutchinson as well. So now the Lions are at this point where you're seeing the players that they're going to have to pay to keep around, to keep their nucleus together, which still makes it important to draft so that you always have, you know, backup, security, fallback plans, keep that depth going. But yeah, Detroit's building just a very good all-around roster, and that's just one of the first pieces as far as re-signings go. One last thing I just wanted to announce, Sports Management Worldwide, SMWW, I'm teaching a class that people can be a part of over at Sports Management Worldwide. I put it on my Twitter account, but go check it out. It includes access to PFF Ultimate for an eight-week period. So it's 8 one-hour classes, and Sports Management Worldwide does a good job of just preparing people for future careers in sports. So this one, obviously, football-related, if you want to learn about what it might take if you were trying to get a job in a front office or for a college football team or whatever it might be, I can help with that.
Nice.
SMWW. So go check out my Twitter account.
Have you got a...
You gonna sign up?
Have you got like a sports coat with elbow patches and stuff, Professor?
No elbow patches, but I do have the same generic headshot that's being used for all of my speaking engagements.
Yeah.
Which includes the Cool Clinic and Sloan and now this class, same headshot.
How old is that headshot?
Oh, wow. As goofy as a teacher. That is actually pretty good.
We need to... Where is the guy? I need to credit the guy on Twitter that wanted to post that. What's his name? Eric. Oh, that's a tough name. Eric Meehy.
Posts what?
He said he was waiting for you to tweet out this advertisement that you're running right now so that he could tweet that. He's been waiting for days.
Oh, goofy as a teacher?
Yeah.
I didn't know.
Stolen his joke and repurposed it for the podcast.
Oh, that's great. Well, yeah, go sign up. Check out my Twitter account and go sign up for the class. It'd be great. It's going to be a lot of fun. And it's going to be a lot of fun tomorrow night, live on the draft. You, me, Trevor, and Chris Collinsworth.
Yep.
All doing round one together, and then you and I going live right after round one, going pick by pick. We're going pick by pick again?
Yeah.
See what kind of energy we have.
Worked pretty well last time.
Let's go. It did. And then we'll be live on Friday night for rounds two and three as well. And then next week, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, two divisions per day, Monday through Thursday, we'll review every single draft, put some grades on it, talk about everything your team did. And tomorrow's show is Nate Tice and Bruce Feldman. Both Nate Tice is going to give us his Drake May takes and kind of counterbalance things, and then Bruce Feldman with his last-minute draft takes and storylines to keep an eye on. So that's tomorrow's show. And then, again, live tomorrow night, 7:30, 7:45 on this YouTube channel. Is that everything?
Yep.
All right. Thanks to everybody for tuning in. We'll see you again tomorrow with more PFF NFL Podcast.